One of the things that with this teaching tonight and I'm learning how to teach, I am the president of a worldwide international college, and as a professor, I teach also at another college in Charleston, South Carolina. But I have a habit of coming from behind the podium and begin to preach because it gets so good, you know. And I told my wife that if I started doing that this evening, kind of shake her head and say, stay where you're at so we can get through this thing. Okay.
Wow.
But bear with me. I'm going to talk about myself. I like to talk about myself. That way you don't have to feel guilty because I went through this before with God, and God taught me some things. So hopefully if I tell you how he taught me, maybe it might help you. Okay? In my studies and preparing for this afternoon, I began to look at the word ask, A-S-K. And I found in my studies that Jesus asked many more questions than he answered in the gospel. To be precise, he answered 307, he asked 307 questions. He asked that. Now, Jesus was asked himself by others 183 questions that they asked him. And out of 183 questions, he only answered 3 of them. You got an outline that I can pass out to you? You can fill it in as I go about, because I want you to be active. When I teach, I want everybody to be active. And so you can fill that out, but I don't want you to just fill it out from what you hear me saying, but I want you to actually hear Holy Spirit speaking to you, because I don't have all the answers. But I want you to hear him speaking to you and begin to fill out what he's giving you also. Asking questions is central to Jesus' life and his teaching. It was very central to his life and teaching. So I have a question. Why is that important to God? Asking questions. If it is that important to our Lord God, shouldn't it be important to us? Mm-hmm. Asking questions, what I found out doing my research is that it gave me opportunity. Opportunity to what? Opportunity to learn.
Yes.
Opportunity to think. Opportunity to share. An opportunity to grow just by asking questions. This is very important to God. As I did research, I found out that the first 5 years of a child's life is very crucial.
That's right.
For their physical, intellectual, and their social, emotional development. Very crucial. You've heard some people say that around age 4, a child has just about already learned everything they need to carry them through life. They've learned it. It's in there. God put it in. God don't wait until you get 60, 70 to start putting in. He's inputting right away when you're born.
Amen.
Okay. So, I've got 6 daughters and 1 son. He's the only one. He's the baby.
Wow.
We've got many of them that's already retired out of the military and college and things of that nature. But I remember all of them, and so you might associate with this, if being around children, your own children. At 4 years old, you talk to that child, and they'll always go, well, why? Why, Dad? Especially my grandchildren, you know. It tickles me when we talk to them when they're 4 years old. Well, why, Papa? And you say something else. Why, Papa? And you say something else. Why, Papa? Mm-hmm. And sometimes you have to say, because I said so.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yep.
But as I was putting this message together, the Holy Spirit pointed that out to me, and he said that Holy Spirit has taught me that God wants me to ask questions why, just like the 4-year-old children did. Same thing. He wants us to ask. You know, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, in the King James Version, it says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Something about that scripture, years ago, when I was a youngster in the Lord, God showed me, when I got to that scripture, ask, seek, and knock. Take the first letters from those three words, and it says ask. That whole thing is about ask. Mm-hmm. So, why was it asked, God? I said, why is the scripture developed like this? Why did you develop a scripture? You develop a scripture, and then the main key word then is spelled ask. Well, at that time, he never answered me. That was years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. God answers us in three ways. Yes, no, not now. Just because he didn't answer me now didn't mean he didn't answer me. But there was a time coming when he would, many years later. And when that time came, it was around 2012. And I began to ask questions. The Holy Spirit began to prompt me. And you know what happened? What's your name, brother?
Delma.
Brother Delma, you know what happened? I got fed up with church. I got fed up with the way people were doing church.
Yes.
I got fed up, and I went to my pastor at that time and said, something is wrong here. We're not doing something the way God wants us to do it. We're playing church, and I told him, I said, I can't do this no more. I just can't play church no more. I've been a minister in church for a long time. I've been born again since 1979, but I can't do this anymore. And I was fed up. I was ready to just drop out. And I began to ask God, I said, God, I need to know more of you.
Yes.
What can I do to know more of you? I said, they're not seeing, something is missing. I am not connecting with you, Father. I need to know more of you. I want more of you. Who am I to you, God? Why did you save me? What did you save me for? Because what I'm experiencing, it don't seem like that's it. I'm not connected. So I began to question. I began to ask the question, why? And as I began to ask the question, why, God began to tell me, he said, I will teach you. And he began to show me scriptures. And he began to say that I will lead you. I will guide you. And he began to show me, he said, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom and all you're getting, get understanding.
Yes.
And then he began to show me in Hebrew that getting means to go out. Mm-hmm. Get aggressive. Go find where it's at. Purchase it if you need to. And then all of a sudden, this thing about college came to me. And he said, go. And I started college. Not for any degrees or any titles. I just wanted more of him. And I began doing my associate degree in bachelor's. I began to read every book and everything that they threw at me. And I loved it. I began to learn how to hear God talk to me like I never heard him talk to me before. He began to answer questions for me, all of my questions. He began to teach me things that no man
yes.
or no woman ever taught me.
Yes.
He began to share his life with me as I began to learn how to walk with him. Something supernatural was happening. And then when I got done, I thought I was done because I was, you know, getting old and going to school at the time. I graduated, 3 years ago. So I wasn't no youngster going to school. And then he said, you're not done. Because I was still hungry. And so I went and got my master's, and then I got my doctorate. And then my wife said, I'm not going back there anymore. I'm done. I got my bachelor, and I'm done. Well, guess what? When he got done with me, he started on her. And she had to go through it.
Hmm.
And now she has a doctorate. I'm saying all this to say this. I had a hunger and a thirst for him.
Yes. Amen.
And I had questions. And every time I asked a question, every time one, he would generate one, he would answer it. And he was teaching me things that no one could. You know, in Matthew 16, chapter 16, verse 13 to 20 says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I am?
Yes.
The Son of Man am. Once again, he said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said this. This is what they said to him. They said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, and others Jeremiah, and one of the prophets. Then Jesus said to them, he said to them, but who do you say I am?
Yes. That's
when
right.
I read the scripture and got to that verse, God said, who do you, Ray, say that I am?
Amen.
He began to say, who am I in your life?
What do I mean to you? If I am your Lord, then why aren't you living like I'm your Lord? If I am your Lord, then why am you speaking like I am your Lord? If I am your Lord, why are you not walking in the faith like I am your Lord?
Mm-hmm.
That was the word ask. When I got to speak, because God broke it down, He took me to Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you.
Mm-hmm.
This scripture, when I first read it, ask and you shall be given, seek and you shall find, knock and it will be opened unto you. A lot of us always automatically think that ask God and He'll give me whatever I want. Mm-hmm. Seek Him out and He'll be there for me. Knock and He'll open up all the doors of heaven for me, pull me out this great blessing. No.
No.
God said, this is about me. It ain't about you. He said, learn how to take everything that I got and point it back to me. He said, when they say seek, He said, I didn't tell you to seek anything. Who am I telling you to seek? He said, I'm telling you to seek me with everything that you got. This was changing my life. It started in 2012. Knock was the third one. A-S-K. Ask. The third one was knock. And He took me in. We know this, but some of the things I'm telling you, it's not new. Understand the scriptures that you heard before, but He was showing me a different revelation. He's showing me a different twist. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He said, who's standing at the door? He is.
Lord, amen.
He's not standing at the door to open up his gate to heaven, throw you out blessings to you, just flowing out and just doing what you want to do. He said, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and open the door, I will come unto him and dine with him, and he with me.
Amen.
And he said, Ray, Dave, you remember what you said, and I think the song said, it said, you need to be in His presence every day.
Amen.
He said, I'm at the door.
Yes.
When you get up in the morning. Every day. He said, I'm knocking every day because I want to be with you. Let me in. Every day. And when you don't let Him in, He said, what, did you forget about me? I'm still at the door waiting on you.
Amen.
This is not a one-time thing, the scripture. It's every day. Him, Him, Him. Other scriptures that talk about asking, I'm not going to talk about it, but it's Mark 11:24, Luke 11:9-13, 18:1-8, John 15:7, John 3:22, and James 1:5-6:1. In your outline, I already got those stated. You know why God had me give you that outline? So you can go back and look at these scriptures. Let me tell you something. I told Pastor Dave this before. Whenever he teach in the church environment here, because we are the church, not the building, not the room, we are. And
that's
we are
right.
Together. We are the church.
That's right.
Whenever he teach, we are not supposed to just go back and leave it alone. We are supposed to go and ask the question, God, how do I apply what your man of God that you gave, how do I apply that to my life so that it brings change in my life? I love what I heard, God. How do I walk in it? Because God used him or used me or used you to minister to somebody's life. Don't tell them how to walk in it.
Yes.
And don't tell them the revelation. Only God can do that. Mm-hmm. Many, many Christians will come out and say, that was a good sermon.
Yes. Amen.
But they never walk in. You know why? Because they never ask God to show them how. They never say, Holy Spirit, lead me. Let this word that I got, I need to know this. In college, when I got taught these things, I said, God, how do I apply that in my life?
Right.
How do I walk in this? I love what I'm hearing, but God, I don't know how to do this. He said, I will teach you.
Amen.
You can't do it on your own power. You can only do it by the leading of my Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Listen. X and Y is essential to God.
Why is this essential? This is what I asked him. And he said, this is important to me, Ray. I said, God, why is this important to you? Very simple.
What he showed me for my life is the beginning of a relationship with him.
I don't ask questions of someone that's dead. Mm-hmm. I ask questions of someone that's alive.
Right.
I don't ask questions of someone I don't trust. Mm-hmm. I ask questions of someone I trust. And so on and so on.
Right.
It's the beginning of a relationship with God. Listen, you got a chart in the back. I call it, God gave me this back in 2012 during my studies.
Man didn't give me this. God, your name might be somewhere else, but somebody might, you might give, you know, even though respect to any one person. Somebody else might got it, but he gave it to me. I haven't seen it nowhere else. I call it the circle of life. In the middle of that circle of life, you have, I'm just going to put K for knowledge. Okay? The relationship that God wants, when you start asking questions, has to start first with you having faith.
All right. Amen.
Faith is what pleases God. Faith is what moves God. Without faith, without giving faith to Him, nothing's going to happen.
Right.
Everything's going to be dead.
Right.
So the first thing you got to have in the circle of life, and I'll just put F, you got to chart for faith. Now you have faith that there is a God. And with that faith, because you have faith that there is a God, you believe. You can't worship something that you don't believe. Mm-hmm. Adore something and learn from something that you don't believe. So now you have faith and you believe Him. And because you believe Him, now each one of these things can be broken down and God will break them down because they go deep.
Mm.
I'm just giving you the outside.
That's right.
And you can't learn how to have faith without God in this Holy Spirit. You can't learn how to believe in God without God. You might have what I call an advertiser of belief. God don't want you to advertise. He wants it all. And to be changed and walk in the supernatural, you got to give Him all.
Mm-hmm.
You got to find out what this belief is. It goes deep. Mm-hmm. Belief is action. It's not just a thought. It's action.
Mm.
When you believe, then you begin to trust. You begin to trust this God. You begin to say, when we pray for those people to be healed tonight, we begin to say they are healed in the name of Jesus because Jesus already died for them. He's already redeemed them from poverty, sickness, and death. They're already healed. All they got to do is claim it.
Yeah.
Because we trust this Almighty God.
Amen.
When you begin to trust Him, then you will obey Him. Obedience is, what that saying, obedience is more than a
it's better than sacrifice. Amen. Isaiah 119. Amen.
When you begin to obey Him, now you are beginning to walk in the knowledge of Him. You begin to know God.
Right.
Knowing God is not just a thought or a brain thing the way you know Him. Knowing God, when you look in Hebrew or Greek, look up this word, it means doing something.
Yes.
It means walking with Him, experiencing God. That's what knowing God is. To know God is to experience God. If you're not experiencing God, if all you know is what you read and you're not walking in, then you don't know God. You don't
Amen.
Have a relationship with Him. That's the circle of life.
Mm.
Does it make sense to you?
Amen. Yes.
Everything needs to point back to God. Mm-hmm. Let me say, this is the most important thing. Everything needs to point back to Him, even your asking. Because if you don't, you'll put the natural in it, and it'll be all about you, without you even knowing it.
Yes.
And it happens so smoothly because you're not allowing God to be God and teach you. Everything has to point back to Him. He gets the glory for everything. All things work together for His glory and honor. Listen to this. This is what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, ask for what you don't have and give thanks for what you already have. And I said, okay, God, what are you saying to me? He said, ask for the things that I have not given you yet. Do you know all of my wisdom? Do you have all of my knowledge? Do you have all of my grace? Do you know how to walk totally in obedience? Do you know how to totally surrender yourself to me?
Amen.
Ask for those things that you do not have. You might have a portion, but you don't have. But the things that I've already given to you, why are you asking? Why are you asking and praying for healing instead of saying, thank you for the healing? Mm-hmm. Because when you look in the Word, nowhere in the New Testament you see that Jesus prayed for healing.
That's right.
He healed. So we begin to speak the healing that we already got. He said, why are you asking for my promises? Oh God, please help me with the finance when I've already given it to you. Why don't you seek me out so that I can show you how to go and get what I've already given you? He said, don't ask for what I've already given you. This is, he's talking to me now. He might not be telling you that. You might say, I need to still ask him. But he told me, don't ask for what I've already given you. Claim it. And ask for the things that you haven't received from me yet, which is all of him.
Amen.
More of him. Amen?
Amen.
So, once again, when you ask, it gives you an opportunity to learn, share, think, and grow. Listen to this. Learn. You get an opportunity when you ask, and I disappoint to God, to learn all about him. And why he created you. And then you can actually put on the end of that, and you put that on your outline. But how do I do this? Share. To fellowship with God through a relationship with him. At the end of that, in the outline, you can put, how do I do this, God? To think. Know his thoughts, his plans, his desires for your life. At the end of that, you can put the question, how, God? Grow. To grow in him and become like his son, our Lord Jesus Christ. At the end of that, you put, how do I do this, God? I've heard a lot of teaching, and I've heard people say this and say, all you got to do is say, God forgive me for my sins,
mm-mm,
and I'm born again.
Mm-mm.
It's more than that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's more than that. But only one person can show you that's God. And you know how I know that? When God showed me, he said, look at Psalms 32:8. And I'm going to read it out of the New King James Version. You don't have to look at it. You already got it. But it says this. God says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. He didn't say Ray Leach. He didn't say Pastor David. Or any one of us. And he said, he will do it. Now, he'll use man. But he said he will do it. But if you don't seek him, he's not going to force himself on you to do it.
Nope.
Isaiah 48:17, and this is out of the names of God's Bible. I like using different Bibles, kind of see what they're representing. And it starts in Hebrew, so I'm going to make a good attempt to try to speak Hebrew here. Okay. It says, this is what Yahweh, Yoguel, Odash, Yisiria says, I am Yahweh, your Elohim. I teach you what is best for you. I lead you where you should go. Now I'm going to read it out of the King James Version so you can maybe understand it. He says, out of the King James Version, same verse, Isaiah 48:17, he says, thus says the Lord, my Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, which leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. I'm almost coming to the end here. And then I gave you several scriptures following that that talked about God leading us and teaching us. Everybody, just stop and pause for a minute. You can't get from point A to point B without God.
That's right.
If you arrive to point B without him, you might be at a counterfeit spot.
Yep.
Because it ain't God. You might be at a spot of turmoil and trouble in your life. Because it ain't God. You got there on your own. And it might look successful to you, but it ain't.
Yes, amen.
Okay. Why is God so interested in us asking him to show us? Why? Just think, ask Holy Spirit, ask him that question yourself. Why is he so important? Why is it so important for us to ask him to help us in this? What's your name?
Connie,
that's right. Connie, you know, it's amazing to me, so many Christians that's out there, they don't talk to God. They don't ask God nothing. Whatever the pastor says or whatever some man says,
that's right.
And that pastor might have gave them a good word, but they don't have the slightest idea how to apply that word to their life. Why? Because the pastor is telling you, you need to go back and you need to absorb this and you need to ask God, how does this apply? How can I apply this to my life? What do I need to do with this?
Amen.
And so they get this fresh manna, but they don't even know how to eat it. They're like babies, just throwing it and messing it up. And then until it got spoiled and it goes away.
Amen.
We have to ask. That scripture in Matthew 7, where he says, ask, seek, and knock. It's very important. I mean, he made the whole scripture about ask.
Yeah.
And spelled it out.
Yep.
Okay? It's very important. Why did he do this? Well, when I read, when he led me to Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13, out of New King James Version, this is what it says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Yeah. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good purpose.
Amen.
For his, not ours. Everything that we do got to be for him. He created us for him. Romans 8:28, New King James Version says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God.
Amen.
To those who are the called according to his purpose. You're called according to God's purpose, not ours.
That's right. Amen.
Son?
Yep.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're called to God's purpose, not ours. 2 Timothy 1:9, it says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling?
Yes.
Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. His own purpose.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
Everything I'm saying so far, when we take us out of it, it all has to do with him.
Amen.
You know, my wife and I bought two new vehicles when we had to travel back and forth to South Carolina to teach it, when I was teaching at a college down there. And the first thing I asked him, I said, why? I said, all my life, I'm sick going on 67 years old in 1 month. You never ever blessed us with two vehicles when we had all these children. Now, why did you bless us with two vehicles? God, what is that? Because I don't want to go around and be boasting about how blessed I am and look what God is doing to me. I don't want to cause envy and strife with people. You did this for a reason, for your purpose. What is your purpose for this? Why did you do this so that I don't mess it up? You know what he told me? He said, so when I tell you to go, you go. And wherever you go, I want them to see my glory pouring and flowing out of you, not yours.
Amen.
And I said, thank you, Lord.
Amen.
And ever since then, we get every 2 years, we got a new vehicle.
Thank the Lord.
He doesn't. Because nobody can outbless him.
No.
Nobody can outgive him. Mm-hmm. And he wants us to walk in his blessing because that's his part of his glory. He wants us to work. He wants us to be healthy and wealthy, and he wants us to be holy.
Yes. Amen.
So that when people see us, they see his son in us. You see, I got some Christians, they'll walk around broken down and everything. You know, I mean, there's some ailments with somebody, but speak life. Don't speak death.
Yes.
Okay? Speak who you are in Christ Jesus. But if you don't know him, you can't speak who you are in him because you have no relationship with him. You don't know him.
Yes.
Okay? Other scriptures where God talks about his purpose is Exodus 9:16, Job 42:2,
yes.
Proverbs 19:21, Proverbs 25. You all have that in the outline.
Right.
Now listen to this. Psalm 118:24. We all know that one. Really good. We all recite that. We go, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And we say, "Oh, thank you, God. You made a day, and yeah. I'm going to rejoice in it. I'm going to be glad just Amen. Like your word said. Thank you, Lord." God was talking about you. He made that day for him. And the reason why he made that day for him, so that you will have an opportunity again, listen, to learn, to share, to think, and to grow in him. He has purposed our life, and we need to find out what that purpose is. Because you know why God, through his Holy Spirit, wakes us up in the morning? Very simple. Because he's not done with us yet.
Yes, that's right.
We still have a purpose. Every day that purpose could be renewed and refreshed. And we need Amen. To say, "God, what is today that you desire of me to do? What can I do and how can I walk with you? Whatever it is, God, I ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide me so that I bring honor and glory to you. Show me, Father, what it is." Ask him a question first thing in the morning. There was somebody at a priest said, "Good morning, Holy Spirit," years ago that we listened to. And he said, it was from Africa, and he said, "If you continue to say that, every morning you get up, you go, 'Oh, thank you, God. Good morning, Holy Spirit.' One day, Holy Spirit's going to answer you back." Mm-hmm. And he's going to say, "Good morning." Don't be startled. Wasn't you expecting it? Don't ask without expectation. When I pray and ask, I expect God to move on it. Mm-hmm. Because he will answer. But he'll do it in his time. Mm-hmm. But you know, his time is always on time for us.
Right.
Yes.
When you say, "God," when he said, "This is the day the Lord has made, let us rejoice and be glad in it," I ask the question, "God, why did you make this day?" He said, "I made this day so that you will have opportunity again to learn who I am and why I created you. Mm-hmm. To share, to have fellowship with me."
Amen.
"And develop your relationship even more with me." You can't do... You can't develop a relationship with the Almighty Father in one day.
No.
It's a lifetime thing.
Yes.
And until we make up our mind that this is a lifetime thing, to give him everything that we got. He created us for worship. Then you go, "He created your worship." The question is, "God, how do I worship you?" And he'll tell you. Thank you.
Amen.
It is important to talk to him.
Yes. Amen.
And you start that relationship by just doing this one simple thing. Ask him a question.
Amen.
Actually, I had that the prisoners that both him and I go to the same prison ministry, and then I go to the other one too. One of the things I asked prisoners, I said, "Have you ever heard God talk to you?"
Yes.
And a lot of them said, "I think." I said, "No, he talks all the time. And you should be able to hear him talk to you every day. And you only have to do four things." And they said, "What was that?" "Number, just like he does when he starts up his teaching, get silent. Get the business out.
Yeah.
Begin to focus on Jesus and who he is." Okay. The second thing is, check this out now. This is what I learned in college. Now, this is not, God didn't give me that. This was taught to me in college by a guy that studied how to hear God's voice for 10 years all over the world. And we began to introduce this in the college, teach students how to do this. And we had outstanding, amazing, supernatural results where students will come back and say, "I heard him for the first time. I actually hear God." And now we got students that we talk to now that's graduating. They say, "He talks to me all the time." I said, "Yeah, because that's God."
Yeah.
When I get depressed, I'm so pressed is when he stopped talking to me. I got to say, "God, what did I do?" You know, because I miss, I don't want this to stop, you know.
Amen.
I want to continue. But you focus on him and get the business out. And then here's a good thing. then ask him a question.
Talk to him. He's your father. And so I told him, I said,
ask him, why do we love you so much? And he wrote it down.
And I said, now, when he talks to you, he's going to talk to you spontaneously. And the first thing your head is going to say in the natural, oh, that's you. That's your consciousness. Father. I said, when the last time your conscience told you to ask God, why did he love you so much? Mm-hmm. I said, show me a hand on anyone in here. About 150 of them in there.
None of them.
I said, that's not your conscience. Your conscience is not going to talk to you like that. That's God.
Amen.
Okay? And then I said, when he talked to you, the fourth thing, write it down. I gave you an outline, and it wasn't full of everything, to tell you this. When God talks to you, learn to write it down.
Yeah.
He wakes you up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
That's right.
Have a notebook by your bed and write it down, because if you don't, you will lose it. You will lose it like that.
Sure will.
Okay? Write it down. He said in the Word, write the vision down. What vision? Not your vision. His vision. If he's that important to you, you will sacrifice and get out of the bed and say, okay, I mean, he talks to me all the time. The time that he wants to talk to me, and you too, and him and I communicate like 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm up, he's up. That's when God talks to me. I don't know what it is about 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, but it's a special time to him, and it has become special time to me to the point now I wake up every day. My wife says 3:30, 4 o'clock, I'm wide awake. And sometimes I lay in the bed, and he don't require me to get up, but he begins to talk to me about things that we did yesterday and about things that I'm going to be doing here. And then sometimes I have to get up because he's giving me so much. I got to write it so I don't forget it. He's giving me so much directions. He gives me directions when I want to buy something. He tells me when to do it and how to do it. When it's time to go to the grocery store, what to eat, not to eat. He cares about everything that we do. Everything. He's a good, good, good God. And so I'm going to end with this. I'm going to end with this about your asking. Don't let your mind tell you about who God is. Your mind don't know. You tell your mind who God is. Your mind is trying to comment and make you lazy until you begin to tell you who God is. No, you say, shut up, I'm going to tell you who God is, because you don't know enough. Out of all the schooling I got, almost 14 years, I only know this much about God. Mm-hmm. That's all. Enough to be dangerous. I can't walk around if I know everything. I only know that much. It's so much more to learn. I'm learning every day. Listen, don't listen to yourself, because yourself will talk to you. But listen to the voice of God in His Holy Spirit. You got problems? You heard this one before. Don't tell God about your problems. Tell your problems about God. He already knows your problems. But your problems don't know Him, because it's wearing you out. But when you begin to tell those problems about God, those problems will begin to disappear.
Amen.
He'll wipe them away. Amen. So with that being said, thank you. I hope that came across smoothly. It's been a long time since I taught, because I wanted to come behind here and preach and get into it. I'm trying to learn how to just teach. And I hope I did well before the Lord, that He's satisfied. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.